Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I am so excited about my guest today, John David Mann. He's an award-winning author whose writings have earned the Nautilus Award, the Axiom Business Book Award, and Taiwan's Golden Book Award for Innovation. He is a co-author of the New York Times bestsellers, The Red Circle and Flash Foresight, and the national bestsellers, The Go-Giver, Among Heroes, and Real Leadership. His books are available in 24 languages and have sold more than 2 million copies. His 2011 Take the Lead was named by Tom Peters and the Washington Post as the best leadership book of 2011. Throughout the 1990s and 2000s, John was a leading figure in the development of the direct selling community. He served as co-founder and editor-in-chief of Upline, Network Marketing Lifestyles, and Networking Times, and was himself a leadership distributor, building an organization of over 100,000 people and generating hundreds of millions in sales for his company. He ghostwrote The Business of the 21st Century for Robert Kiyosaki and The Slight Edge for Jeff Olson, and edited and produced John Fogg's The Greatest Networker in the World. It is my great pleasure to welcome John David Mann.
Wow. Thank you, Belinda, for that auspicious, awesome introduction. Great to be here.
Yes. Well, as I'm reading that, and I know several of those people, and am very familiar at this world of mine being in the direct selling industry. So it's really great to have you on the show. And gosh, what an accomplishment with your books. That is something really for all authors to truly aspire to. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Great. Well, why don't you just fill us in on some of the gaps, you know, give us a little bit of your background about yourself and then kind of where you are today with your business.
Yeah. You know, I often say I'm a classically trained musician, not a jazz musician, so I don't improvise naturally. But I have to say, asking your question, I look like I've been improvising my whole life. I mean, my career, nothing intentional about it. I did not start out to be any of the things you just described. I started out as a classical musician. I played the cello. I was a concert cellist and a classical composer. My dad was a choral conductor, so I came to that profession honestly. I got into education. Friends and I started our own high school when I was a kid, and I was in that field for a while. And then I kind of got sidetracked into the world of natural foods and natural health, which people can easily imagine this transition. That kind of led to the world of direct selling and network marketing, all that sphere. And there was a thread in all of that, which is that I always seemed to bump into situations where people were writing newsletters or journals or things that needed to be edited. So I did a lot of editing. My parents were both academicians, and I guess I came to that naturally too. So this whole writing thing, it wasn't my plan, but it was what the universe had in mind for me apparently when I was making other plans, and so here I am.
Oh, that is wonderful. I think that that's great because a lot of people get stuck on, well, this is the path I was intended to go on, or this is what I'm supposed to do. And really, if you're open to possibilities, things can lead you in new directions all the time if you're actually open and looking for that to happen.
Well, you know, looking back, it looks very neat and orderly, like everything was leading up to doing things like The Go-Giver and The Slight Edge, as you mentioned, and the books that I do now. But if you were there at the time, it looked a lot messier. A lot of junctures in my life where I really was broke and was stuck and was really had no idea what I was doing and was very unsure about, you know, which fork in the path to take or even if there was a path. So, yeah, I often say it took me the first half century to figure out who to marry and what to do for a living.
Good. So then tell us a little bit more about your business today. You can even share with them about your newest book and then how this has shaped your lifestyle.
You know, it's funny because in the first part of my life, I did a lot of public speaking. Certainly in the network marketing sphere, I did a lot of public speaking. And before that, involved in starting the school. But what I've gradually learned, I'm going to sort of answer your question starting from the lifestyle point and then work it back to my business model. What I've learned over the years is kind of more who I am and what I'm best suited for and kind of what comes to me most naturally or most comfortably. I'm comfortable being on the stage talking to 5,000 people, but I think I'm a lot more effective doing the kind of work that I do now. And by effective, what I mean is I think that I can make a bigger and more significant difference in the world. I think I can leave a better footprint, a more significant footprint doing what I do now. So you asked about my business. My business is this. I'm a writer. I'm an author. And the way that works as a business is I'm, of course, self-employed. You know, I was employed as an editor for a few journals, as you pointed out. That was a form of employment. But I've been self-employed most of my life, and that's what I do now. My business model works like this. I find co-authors that I partner with, and I work with them to write what we hope will be best-selling books. By and large, this has not always been true in every case, but by and large, I work my books as a 50-50 partnership. So I we split everything. We split the risk. We split the reward. That was true with the Go Giver books with Bob Berg. It's true with the Navy SEAL Sniper books with Brandon Webb. It's true with my new book with the Chef Charles. I like the 50-50 model. That's worked for me. And functionally, the model is basically I write the book. They promote the book. It's kind of how we work. I'm sort of like the inside guy and they're the outside guy, if you will. And, you know, often you find, and you've probably seen this in the direct selling world, you often see where a couple will work their business where one goes out and gives the talks or does the conference calls and the other one kind of keeps the books and organizes the downline report and kind of keeps track of who's doing what in the back office. And that's, you know, that is gender nonspecific. Sometimes it's the husband who does the call, sometimes it's the wife, and sometimes it's, you know, it's a whole different model. But that's what I've found. Here's where I think I'm most effective, writing the books and putting the experience onto the page. And that's my business.
That's awesome. And it's great that you've been able to have those partnerships like that. I think that not everyone is willing to do that. So the people that you've obviously partnered with have been very smart in seeing your talents and abilities as well. And I think that that is great information for people that are thinking, I want a ghostwriter, but I'm not willing to give this or I'm not willing to do this. And I think you have to be willing to partnering in that and especially finding people's skill sets on what they're really going to do is going to make it a bestseller, which you've had obviously a great record of doing. You know, you've had a good string of that. So it's proved to work for you. That's awesome.
And I'll hasten to add that, I mean, first off, not every ghostwriter works that way.
Right.
And not every writer works that way. And some of the projects I've done have been more, you know, genuine ghostwriting. You know, you mentioned Kiyosaki, for example. Well, my name doesn't appear in that book. There's none of me in that book. It's all me just really operating the levers behind the screen for Robert. But then you take a book like The Go Giver, that's remotely, totally the opposite. That isn't a ghostwritten for Bob Berg book. That's a Bob and John partnered together. Both of our ideas are in it equally. So it's a very... And even in the Brandon Webb books, the sniper books, even though they're about Brandon's experience, and I have never been in the military and certainly been in the field of battle, there's a lot of me in those books. So in some of those books, they're really more genuinely partnerships than sort of a hired gun doing the writing.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with the hired gun doing the writing model. I've done some of those myself, and that's also a fine, respectable model. It's just not what I focus on. I like the residual of the long-term 50-50 partnership.
Right. Great. So what are, this is a big question that a lot of our listeners enjoy, is what are a couple of the greatest skill sets that you think that have truly helped you be successful?
Haha. Yeah, well, great question. I'll tell you, I studied with a screenwriting teacher in Hollywood, a wonderful, wonderful man, Hal Crosman, who's, I think, the best screenwriting teacher out there. And he teaches a grab bag, a toolbox of you know, dozens of critical skills. But he teaches in his course that there are two central skills, critical skills, without which you cannot be successful in Hollywood. And I would transpose that to my business, and I would transpose that to a lot of businesses. He says, number one, your writing can't be good. It can't be great. It has to be excellent. I mean, you have to be at the top of your game. You have to be refining it every day, practicing every day, becoming better, 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 just refining your skill and being the very, very best writer you can possibly be, which means you have to be, you know, open to constant revision of yourself. And it's true for public speaking, it's true for selling, it's true for anything. But the other skill, he said, is you have to be easy to work with. You can't be a prima donna. You can't be someone who's a pain in the neck to work with, who's you know, got to have his own way. And I think that probably two of the most important skills I've developed in my writing career, one has been the capacity to listen to critique, not take it personally, and listen to it objectively and openly and see where it may be valid. It's difficult to do. It's painful to see a manuscript I've written to someone and have them say, I think that whole chapter, you know, just stinks. I just don't think it's going to work. And that happened to me. We threw out the whole last chapter of The Go-Giver, of the original manuscript, and wrote a new one. That's a very difficult thing to do. It is a skill set to be able to listen openly and unemotionally to qualified critique. And I'll say qualified critique. And the other skill set that goes with that is to be easy to work with. I am pleasant to work with. I ask anybody who's written a book with me, and they'll tell you, I am not a pain in the neck. That's not always been true. I have been a pain in the neck at times in my life. I've learned that. That's a skill set you can develop to be easy to work with.
That is so true. And that's what I always strive for myself. And I wouldn't say I've hit it 100% on the mark, but I would say if you talk to 90% of people, they would say, oh my gosh, it was a joy working with her, because I don't know. I think it's the way you see yourself. I'm just there to work and serve and do the best work that I can do. And I don't think so much of myself that I would think I'm better than anybody else in the room. And I think that is the key. It's like, everybody brings value, and if you always come to it from a place of service, that's exactly how I look at it. I don't know if how you see that, but I'm always trying to just bring my best job to the table. And I think when you do that, you naturally are not a prima donna, or you're not difficult to work with, because you're really trying to bring your best work to the table.
Yeah, well, it's this curious thing where it's almost a paradox, where on the one hand, you know, you'll have people who tell you, you have to believe in yourself, trust your own voice, trust your own vision. And I wholeheartedly agree. I think you have to be your own best cheerleader. You have to believe in yourself. You have to trust yourself. And so I'll often tell people that the two secrets to success as a writer, one is to trust yourself and don't listen to anybody else and what they tell you. And the second is, don't trust yourself and listen to what other people tell you. You also have to stay open, and it is a balancing act. You have to trust your own voice, but also understand that there are people around you who know you in some ways better than you do, and that the universe knows you better in every way than you know yourself. So it's this balance of trusting yourself, but also staying open to the signals that you get from around you.
That's great. So what would you say is one of your most outstanding accomplishments that you've achieved, or something that has really great meaning for you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I guess I'm just going to say, make it easy for myself and say The Go-Giver, say that book. You know, it's funny. I like to say that Bob Berg ruined my career, because I was dead set on being a Hollywood screenwriter. That's what I was doing. That was my plan. I was working. I'd read every book on screenwriting. I'd written some scripts. I'd studied a bunch with some great screenwriters. That was my plan at the time, and Bob came along and said, I have this book idea. I'd like you to partner with me on it. And my thought was, I don't have time. I can't do this. It's a distraction. But I told my fiancé, who's now my wife, I said, you know, it's Bob. And I love Bob. And if it's Bob, I got to listen. So I listened to Bob, and I'm glad that I did, of course, because his idea became what is today the book, The Go-Giver, which launched my career and is still the most successful it's the book I'm most well known for, my most well known book. And I'm really proud of that book because for a few reasons. It's a very simple book. I get a ton of people who contact us who say, I don't read a lot of books. I'm not really a reader, but I read your book. I couldn't put it down. And that's just so gratifying to hear. The other thing I'm really proud of about that book is that I had read maybe one or two parables. I'd read The Greatest Networker in the World, which you mentioned, because I was involved in producing it. And I had read The One-Minute Manager. Mm-hmm. And that's I'd never read The Alchemist. I'd never read Richest Man in Babylon or The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino or Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I'd never read any of them. So I didn't know what not to do, and I didn't have to unlearn anything. It was beginner's mind doing that thing. And I'm there are more books in the series, as you know, but I'm still really, really happy with that and proud of that book.
It is a great book. I've read it and recommended it numerous times to lots of people, so I know a lot of people love that book. Great. So let's talk then in the polar opposite of that, maybe one of your greatest challenges that you faced and then how you worked through that.
man, this is just like, how much time have we got? There's so many places to go with that. I mean, and I'm going to name a small one, but then the big one.
Okay.
First of all, there's a big challenge always, which is self-belief. I have self-doubt with every new book I go into, and I'm just going to just say that and not get into detail about that. So that's something I've had to learn. I've had to learn how to have faith in the outcome and trust that there is a great book out there to be written, and it's already written in some plasmic way. I just have to discover it and get it on the page. But it was a challenge to write in the voice of a Navy SEAL sniper. It's so different from my experience set. So I've had to learn how to become other people. And that's been fun. But here was a challenge, and it's, I think, been a big challenge both emotionally and professionally. And that is, a book I've got that hasn't come out yet. It comes out this fall. It's still in presale. It's the latest book I wrote, and I gave it to my agent. It's a parable about a young boy, and it's got life lessons, and it's right up my alley. I love this kind of book, and it involves food. I wrote it with an award-winning chef, and so I love food, and it was very exciting. And I gave it to my agent to read, and she called me on the phone practically screaming. She said, "This is the best writing you've ever done. We're going to take it to New York. There's going to be an auction. They're going to go crazy. It's going to be a 7-figure advance." None of those things happened. We took it to over 40 publishers, and every single one of them passed. And I've never had that happen. I mean, The Goal Giver was rejected over 20 times until we finally found our publisher, but we finally found our publisher. I've had other books rejected a lot and then finally published. This one was rejected a lot, and then there was never a punchline to the joke. I mean, nobody ever said yes. So, again, as I say, that's never happened to me before. And I faced a really tough question. Do I believe in this book? Do I believe in this manuscript? Do I believe in this story and these people, the characters? Because the only choice, you know, was to completely rewrite it into a totally different book, which I just couldn't do, or publish it ourselves. And understand, Belinda, that's not what I do. I don't publish books. It's not my business model. I don't have that skill set and that experience. I don't have the resources. I don't have the time.
Right.
So it's like I decided that I believe in this book, and my co-author believes in this book, so we decided we would actually do it ourselves, which we're doing now. And it's an enormous risk, it's an enormous challenge. It's basically we've got to completely reinvent ourselves in an entirely new business model, because publishing is not the same thing as writing. And you know, if you're an entrepreneur, that happens, where you suddenly find, I mean, you may be in the business of producing some kind of product and suddenly discover you have to learn how to distribute it, or the opposite. Or you may be in a business that you think you're in and suddenly discover that you need to master an entirely new skill set that's foreign to you in a quick time, because otherwise it's just not going to get done. And that's the boat that we're in. And I think that is the entrepreneur's challenge. And it's terrifying, and I love it.
I bet. I can't. I know that is a struggle, though. And it's as an entrepreneur, as a writer, and this is something, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening that have that book in them, right? Everybody says they have a book in them and they want to get it published. And the big question out there today is, do you self-publish or do you try to find a publisher? And so you having always gone that other way and then now suddenly being faced with this, what are you finding your experience to be like in this self-publishing? I'd love to even know that myself.
Well, self-publishing in both spheres, first of all, the two spheres are radically different in almost every way. The self-publishing sphere is very challenging in one way, which is that the bar is very low. And it hurts my heart to say this, but it's just the truth. There are so many self-published books out there that just scream I am self-published.
Right.
You know, they are, and I say this with compassion, they don't look good, they don't read well, they weren't properly edited, they weren't properly laid out or designed, and they just have the look of a book, that, of a do-it-yourself book, and it's sad because they aren't taken seriously by a lot of people, and most of them shouldn't be, but many of them should be. There are some books that have wonderful content, but the delivery is not professional. So that's one challenge. To me, you know, the first big, I wasn't worried about that because I do have the skill set to design a professional looking book, and I could get a book that was well edited and so forth. I knew I could do that. For me, the big challenge was, and this is a challenge that you'd face in direct selling, it's a challenge that you face in every sphere you go into. Who do I listen to? There are 1,000 experts mm-hmm. out there telling me how to do it. There are so many experts in books and online telling you how to self-publish. Who do you listen to? Because you know what? A lot of them don't know what they're talking about. Or they know 2%, and the 98% is going to kill you. Plus which you don't have time to listen to all of them, and they have conflicting advice. And so that for me, that was the first step, was to sort of take a quick look out there, do a little sifting, and make a few decisions, executive decisions, about whose advice I was going to follow, who I was going to listen to, and then ignore the rest.
That is really difficult and challenging. Yeah. And I'm just saying, because there are, every single day I'm seeing more of them. It used to be there was a handful and you kind of thought, well, that person certainly probably knows what they're talking about. But you are right. Just because they had a best-selling book does not suddenly make them, you know, the expert on publishing. And I think that's confusing in itself. But then there's all these people you've never heard of. I've never heard of a book, and then they're saying, but I was responsible for this XYZ bestsellers, and and then you listen to the webinar, and you want to, like, poke yourself in the eye, to be honest, and you're just like, how do you sift through all that? I would say to probably, you know, 90% of people listening to this that have been thinking about a book, they're probably looking at exactly that very thing, and I think that's challenging. I think it is hard to sift through it all. And there's so much more now online and on Facebook and ads and sponsored ads and get your book published in 30 days. And I'm thinking, what? Because I know what it took me to get our first book completed and out the door. And they had us on a tight schedule, the publisher did. And I think that still took, you know, close to a year. Yep. And I can't imagine these people advertising, get your book done in 30 days. I'm blown away by the whole thing on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I know. And it's, you know, and there's people will tell you both in this sphere and any sphere that, you know, you can learn something from everybody, that there's something to learn from every source. And there's truth to that. But honestly, Belinda, for me, I didn't have time. I'm sure there are lots of people I could learn a little bit from. I was in a webinar the other night. I listened to it because it was one of those, like you're describing. I saw that it came from a reputable source, and I thought, I'm going to check this out. I was on for 90 minutes, and I learned one thing in 5 minutes in the middle there that I'm going to use. It was valuable. But I rarely do that because I don't have the 90 minutes. I cannot afford the time to do all, and I can't afford the distraction. So I, you know, how do you choose? You just choose, you use your judgment. That's the challenge of an entrepreneur. I actually did hire a consultant. I spent $300 on a consultant, best $300 I ever spent. I found a few online sources that I was able to trust. I found one book that I decided I trusted, and I poked around in the covers of a few others, and I dismissed them immediately. So I picked my sources. I also looked through my circle of friends and colleagues at people who have expertise where I don't, and I leaned heavily on a few friends. And I've had amazing support from a handful of friends who have helped me navigate waters that I didn't understand and who have helped me, you know, do things that I didn't know how to do. So I think that choosing your resources and choosing your experts and choosing your advice and your source for information is, you know, there may be no other more important decision than that. I would also say specifically, because you say a lot of people want to get a book out, there are a few things about self-publishing that I would say. One of them is you cannot scrimp on quality. You absolutely have to do whatever it takes to get professionally proofread, professionally edited, a professionally designed cover. You know, you can do these things without spending a lot of money, but you'll probably spend some, and it's worth it because I think you have to have a quality product out the door. Everything else is secondary. That's got to be primary. And, you know, that would be my advice number one. And the second piece of advice was that you've got to give yourself enough time. You cannot rush this.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. So that was great advice. And I know a lot of people are going to appreciate that. So going back to kind of the theme of our show, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
You know, that's a great question, and I should have seen it coming. I mean, after all, it's the name of your podcast. But, you know, it's funny. Belinda, I got into this profession or this craft out of my love of words. I mean, I love words. I love what they do. I love the way they work together. I have a passion for sentences and paragraphs and books. And that's what drew me here. What keeps me here and what fuels me is when I hear from people who've read a book that I've written and they tell me the impact it had on them, there is nothing, there's no feeling in the world to me better than that. And so, you know, I have a literal happy place, which is an overstuffed chair. It's about 15 feet away from where I'm sitting right now. It's my favorite chair. I get in this chair with a pad of blank paper, a cup of hot tea, a pen, my headphones on, some quiet music going through the headphones. I close my eyes and I think of nothing. And that's how I start a book. If I'm going to start the first page of the next Go Giver book or the next Navy SEAL book or whatever it is. And it's the closest thing, you know, you probably come to describing meditation. And I try to get empty and just see what ideas pop up, what sparks and shoots. Creating a story out of scratch feels excruciatingly difficult, but it's very, very enjoyable. The happy place of that for me comes when 9 months later or a year and a half later, I get an email from someone saying, you know, when you said this in that on that page, in the beginning of that book, I never looked at it that way, and it changed my life. There's no better feeling in the world.
Great. So, and I couldn't agree more. So what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
I mean, I think I've alluded to this already, but I'll put it this way. It is a two-pronged piece of advice. It is trust yourself, listen to your own voice, have faith that you are put here uniquely for a unique reason. There's nobody else on the planet who can do exactly what you do. And I do believe every one of us is put here for a reason, and that reason may not be singular. There may be many possible manifestations and forms of it. So trust and believe in yourself. Don't let any outside voice deter you from that. And at the same time, be open to those outside voices, because some of them are bringing you insights that you would never have had on your own and that will take you places that you would never have dreamed you could have gone without those outside voices.
That's great. So what I want you to do now is I want you to tell us about some exciting things that you're working on. I want you to tell us a little bit more about your new book, which I know everyone's going to be excited to hear about. And then in closing, where can people find you?
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the book. So, of course, I have a new Go Giver book coming out next year. That's going to be really fun. We've already written that. There's animals involved in this one. I have another book coming out with my Navy SEAL friend next year. But the book you asked about, this book that I'm self-publishing, is called The Recipe. And it's a story about love, the love of a mentor for his charge. And it's not romantic love. It's in a way a bigger love almost. It's the story of a young boy, 14 years old, name is Owen, who's lost his father. His father's just died, and his father was everything to this kid. And so his life is in serious trouble. We've all been in places where our lives are in serious trouble, even if our fathers haven't necessarily died. And so his life is spiraling down the drain, and he's getting in trouble. And he crosses paths with this retired old diner chef, and he ends up going to work for this guy because he's paying him back for some vandalism he committed. And as he works in the kitchen, in this diner kitchen, he learns life lessons. You know, they're couched as lessons of the kitchen, but they're really lessons of life. And in the end, he grows into himself. He discovers himself. It's sort of like Karate Kid meets Master Chef. And so the recipe of the title is both a specific recipe. It's my wife's blueberry pancake recipe. It's on the cover. But it's also a recipe for living a successful life that the boy kind of discovers in the course of the book. And that book comes out in October, and we're publishing it ourselves, and I'm really excited about it.
That's great. Is it already in pre-sale?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's pre-sale now. My chef partner and I shot some awesome video footage as for bonus content for people who pre-order the book. So there's cool video premiums, but you can find the pre-order offer at this site. It's theingredientsofgreatness.com. Theingredientsofgreatness.com. And you can also find that and this book and all my books. Everything is on my website, which is just johndavidmann.com. And man with two N's, johndavidmann.com.
Wonderful. Well, I can't thank you enough for being on the show today. I was so excited. You know, I've indirectly known you through Bob Berg for many, many years. And so when I found out that you were going to be on the show and that you were going to be promoting your new book, I was super excited. So thank you so much. And I'm so excited for your new book coming out. It sounds fantastic. And it'll be really exciting to hear from you maybe after the whole process is done on how that self-publishing experience, how'd that work out for you?
it's a cliffhanger, Belinda. I don't know how it ends. I don't know yet.
I know. And I'm dying to hear the rest of the story.
So we will find out.
All right. Thank you so much. And everyone, I encourage you to go to that site and pre-order the book, get your extra bonuses. That's always the fun thing about doing a pre-order is there's always great, valuable extra bonuses that you get. And then people later are always like, oh, I missed out on those bonuses. So I can't encourage you enough to take advantage of those anytime that you can. So this sounds like it's going to be a great one. You're going to get some extra bonuses and check out the site, because if you haven't read the Go Giver books, they're fantastic and they're really great for group discussions. If you have teams and you want to continue kind of doing a study on that, you can do their thought-provoking questions. So I would encourage you to do that as well. So thanks so much, John.
I have had so much fun. Thank you, Belinda.
All right.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.